We've got Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. He joins us now. Chief Walker, Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You ought to have Tommy on once in a while, which I know you will anyway, but just so I can get more confused. At least with him, I can still call him Chief. He was Chief before, and now he's Chief again. So you guys had what didn't Chance Gardner do? This story, this is craziness. Tell me what was he doing, and how'd you guys get him arrested?
We did a lot. A couple of weeks ago, we had information that he was committing some vehicle burglaries. At one point, he stole a gun from a state law enforcement officer while they were parked at Mike's Gun Shop on 29. So we knew this guy was a felon, and we also knew that he was stealing weapons. And then I guess the night before last, he actually took a stolen vehicle and tried to ram through the doors of Mike's Gun Shop, the back doors, trying to gain entry to the gun shop.
Wow.
And you can only imagine what he was trying to get at the gun shop. So we actually had him featured on our Wheel of Fugitives, and we put his information out there for a lot of the media to put out, because we were looking for him. We knew that he was on a bit of a crime spree, and we wanted people to let us know kind of where he was. Well, due to good work from one of our deputies, Deputy Vaught, saw a vehicle, stolen vehicle, and that was occupied by Mr. Gardner. And as I mentioned before, he had numerous felony warrants in driving in a stolen car. And as I said before, we knew that he was stealing, or at least has stolen guns in the past. So we tried to stop him. Being the criminal that he is, he decided to run from us, flee in the car, the stolen car that he was in, led a couple of deputies on a chase throughout the area of Kim Strand around Kingsfield, and then north on Kim Strand towards the entrance of Ascend, where our deputy, Sergeant Newton, was able to bump him a little bit and kind of get him in a position where we could surround him, and we ended up arresting him without further incident. So he's charged with all the warrants in addition to fleeing, and then backed into one of our cruiser cars, so he damaged one of our cars as well. So we're just glad that everyone came out of this safe, no one was injured, and we got a criminal off the street.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you say, he had stolen a gun, allegedly, and also that he was the concern that he was armed. And certainly somebody who's willing to flee and somebody who's willing to bump a cop car, you don't know what they might not be unwilling to do. And so you have to treat that with, every level of caution. So good work being able to bring him into custody. That's, wow. But a whole string of crimes connected with him. That's just, the gun store, were they able to reopen? Do you know how badly were they damaged?
I don't believe they were damaged very badly. That we had some surveillance, and that's why we knew that he was still out there committing burglaries. A couple of days before that, we had four vehicle burglaries, and one car was stolen. So that's why we developed him as a suspect, because the deputies, again, whenever they saw the recent surveillance video of him, they recognized him as a person, as Chance Gardner. So again, we solved many, or cleared at least many vehicle burglaries. And hopefully, he'll just answer to the crimes that we believe he committed.
All right. You also, I guess you guys had an arrest of a couple of people connected to a pretty involved CARES Act fraud case, right?
Yeah, if y'all remember back in December, we made some arrests on some people that were doing some applying for fraudulent CARES Act grants. We arrested a number of people, and at the time we said that this is a kind of a big scheme, not just here in Escambia County, but nationwide. But the ones that we're talking about, we continue to investigate, and we end up arresting a father and son duo, an Antonio Slocum, who's 34, and his 19-year-old son, Antonio Slocum Jr. What they had done, they and some other people, they stole someone's identity. They stole a lady's identity, and then they continued to apply for CARES Act grants. They were rejected for a few of them before they finally received one, and they opened up an account. It's really a convoluted and complicated situation, but the bottom line is Antonio Slocum Jr. and Sr. Were charged with fraud and swindling over $50,000, using ID of another person without their consent, money laundering, and then we also got them for use of a illegal use of a credit card. So
wow.
I will tell you that our investigators have done a bang-up job the last couple of months trying to piece together all these frauds that were taking place. We've made many arrests and we anticipate making many more because the investigation continues.
And this is the thing. Look, we knew anytime there's massive amounts of money being slopped around, you know, there are going to be people who try to take advantage of that. And, you know, I imagine, as you say, there have been numerous cases like this, numerous reports like this, and it's kept your fraud investigators pretty busy. Is that right?
It really has. And, again, it's not just in Escambia County, but we have had a couple of investigators working this for the last couple of months. And to say that, there's a lot of people involved is an understatement because, again, we've arrested a few people in December, now a few more here in late February, and the investigation does continue. We'll probably try to piece this thing together, but there's a lot of money involved. There are a lot of people involved, and as I said before, we're going to continue the investigations.
Is there anything you'd tell people who are concerned that their own identity might be used in this way? Is there any simple thing you want people to do to check to make sure their identity is not being abused with CARES Act fraud or any other kind of fraud?
Yeah, I think as you just said, it's not just CARES Act fraud. We obviously want people to not become a victim of identity theft. So we, some common sense things is to make sure that your Social Security number, your IDs are shredded if you no longer need them. Make sure you keep track of your own bank accounts and the purchases that are made from them. And these are just, some of the simpler procedures to keep, make sure that you're not a victim of this identity theft. And because of CARES Act and the people that are continually using other names, false names, in this case, false identities, it's even, it becomes more of an issue with people being victims of identity theft. And then they take that and not just open credit cards in your name. Now they're applying for grants. So, again, if you just monitor your Social Security number and your ID cards and then monitor your bank accounts, it will go a lot towards preventing you from being a victim.
Absolutely. We're talking to Chip Simmons. He is the sheriff in Escambia County. Chip, hang on for me for just one second. Let me get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen, Traffic on the Fives.
Yeah, we have a number of accidents in the area. So let's start off with what's going on in Navarre. We got westbound traffic still closed off in front of the Walmart. They are rerouting traffic through the Walmart parking lot to get you back on the Highway 98. Eastbound direction is delayed as a result of this. Gulf Breeze Parkway delayed in both directions as you're trying to get onto Garcon Point Bridge, which is delayed north and southbound. And now taking a look at Pine Forest Road over at 9.5 Mile Road, there is an accident over there going southbound, and they are rerouting traffic as a result of this accident. I'm Davis Allen with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, one of the big news notes that happened since you and I last talked is that the United States Attorney Larry Keith is stepping aside, as I mentioned yesterday, to Chief Deputy Tucker from Santa Rosa. This is somewhat normal when administrations change, but Larry Keith was a great friend of law enforcement by my read on the outside. What will his changing his leaving office mean to you guys? And is there anything you want to say about him as he leaves office?
Yeah, we had a great relationship with Larry Keith. As you remember, during the NAS terrorist attack, Mr. Keith and I had several conversations. Then Sheriff Morgan and myself and Mr. Keith had a number of, long-standing conversations in a relationship that because the FBI was taking, the federal custody of the investigation. And I have nothing but respect for Mr. Keith. We had a lot of investigations that we worked together. We have a great relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office. While I can't say that it was not expected, again, because of the change in administration, we had held out hope that, because he had done a good job and because he had such wide support throughout the entire region, that they may allow him to stay on as the U.S. attorney. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So I think that the work will go on. I think even Mr. Keith will say that they're in their offices. They have a number of great people, and I would agree with that assessment. I want to say that Larry Keith has been a friend to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. He's done a good job, for the citizens of the Northern District of Florida.
Yeah, it's a sad day, and it doesn't sound like they consulted y'all much either, which is unfortunate because it would think that serving local law enforcement and making sure that their concerns are at least aired would be a key thing. Again, this happened under other administrations too. It's not unique to the Biden administration, but it stinks. I'll be honest, it stinks. He was really, really good. Last question I wanted to ask you about this week, Sheriff, is it's kind of been a topic of concern for us the last few days ever since we talked to Judge Danheiser on Friday about the fact that there have been no civil trials conducted in our area in District 1 for a year, that criminal trials have not been happening, jury trials have not been happening, except just recently they started up again. And I just wanted to, your perspective as now the sheriff, okay, and of course you were the chief deputy while all this was happening last year. What is this doing to your law enforcement officers, if anything? Now, you don't run the jail in Escambia like they do in Santa Rosa, but how is this affecting your law enforcement operations?
Well, I think we all kind of work together in this. We have our piece, and then the judiciary has their piece. And you spoke to Judge Danheiser and some of the concerns that he's had. I think from a citizen standpoint is that individuals are not able to go to trial. And from a sheriff's office standpoint, really our part is, as we talked at length today even, about arresting people that are responsible for criminal activity and allowing those cases to move through the court proceedings. So I don't know that it really affects the sheriff's office that much. We work at the courthouse and as bailiffs at the courthouse, but it has been kind of slow up there, obviously, as you mentioned.
Right.
Our biggest issue is going to be whenever they really start to do trials again, how we're going to be able to handle the large backlog of cases and what we have to do from a security standpoint. To assign more deputies up there, because the anticipation is that there's going to be to keep up with this backlog, a lot of court activity going on, and we're just bracing for that.
Absolutely. Well, I hope it works out well, and we got to get these trials going again. It's just that simple. Sheriff Simmons, thanks so much for the time. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Look forward to talking to you again next week, sir.
You bet. Take care.